Propolis, but never mind.
You're not in Greece.
I am in Greece. The surname is Psaropoulos.
Oh, sorry.
Flying 16. Do they know the throbbing of my aura? Be shaped with storms and sunrises, raging Titan battles and cirrus waves, asking for exquisiteness. In this microcosm that offers visionless nights, deluding shadowed consciousness. In this macrocosm that offers shimmering oceans, rippling golden primary rays, raising physical generations filled with high-spirited panentheism, protecting year's expression of wedded earth and sky, each cycle directing us to higher spheres of transparent visibility, enduring olive trees blossoming out of granite, rebirths blossoming out of catastrophes. Do they know the pulsation of my well-being is shaped with suffering and prayers, cracked fates and miracles, asking for empowerment in this microcosm that offers sacrifices steeped in bloodied laurels and stigmas. In this macrocosm that offers sanctified healing from etheric vitalizing currents, forming astric generations inside the antecedent Olympian womb, woven by an ancient rotating cosmic nucleus, contracting and dilating, attracting and repulsing, desynthesizing and resynthesizing omnipotent force. Authentic cures awakening out of taxing disorders. Vigor awakening out of feebleness. Do they know the resonance of my hymns is shaped with chimeras and truths, remodeled longings and wind chimes, asking for harmonization. In this microcosm that offers nostalgic harps from lost treasures. In this macrocosm that offers seven chord lyres tuned with Apollonian notes, reverberating noetic generations led by Orphic pioneers, by sacred sibyls, by Delphic ideals, in a perfect rhythm of dithyrambic solidarity, in a luminous maturation of our superior selves, supernal melodies spiraling out of clamorous dissension, eudaimonia spiraling out of melancholy. Do they know the euphoria of my triumphs is shaped with steel and devotion, Pyrrhic dances and ecstasies, asking for humanization. In this microcosm that offers an holy act of hybris, in this macrocosm that offers honorable act of praise, progressing numinous generations, sharing lightning sword intuition, bearers of prophecies with earthly duties, initiating merging poetry, science, philosophy, politics, into one indivisible prototype of unrivaled integrity. Aureate humans ascending out of rudimentary humans. Golden ages ascending out of barbarity. Do they know at all the pledge of our flights? Be shaped with chaoses and creations, perishable and imperishable psyche flares, asking for inextinguishable, omniscient eruptions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alexandra. Next up, we have Mel.
This one is called Walking. I walk by the river's edge, blue orange kingfisher flash, a nanosecond of time caught in its beating wings, and a small dragonfly caught in its beak, forming a tiny funeral of sorts that scattered its memory on the water. The flick, flick, rising flash movement of the trout as it snatches a mayfly. White wings and a whispering elegy. I cast a stick into the water and watched it disappear in the sogginess of waterweed moments, their slimy greenness tickling my feet as I put them in the water, invigorating freshness and a gurgle music of water over stones. The ghostly stickleback glimpse in the shallow water that embraces the riverbank like some forgotten dream of embracing that split open in the heron's gaze as it stands, a silent senator, watching the river in a fixated stare that condenses itself in frozen time. I walk through the fields of youth, the shimmer gold barley sway that breathed its song through the rustling, some still small voice of calm that glimmers in the sun. I walk through the streets of London, carbon monoxide pigeons and a scatter of dusty coal black mice as they search for some fragment of food on the tube tracks. The sticky sweat of commuters congealing in the hot air and swaying with the movement of the train, clasping their newspapers as some autobiography of memory that whispers its own particular dirge. The vacant heroine stare of the glazed-eyed youth, watching the world pass through him like some dissolving dream, the cider-eyed homeless silently tracking the movements of anonymous faces. I walk through 1,000 years condensed in a moment that split itself in the walls of my forgetting and evaporated in the soft close grey of city air as it suffocates the last vestiges of my being.
Okay. You want another one?
Just, no, just one.
Yeah, there's the list is long.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Mel. That was fantastic. Yeah, I mean the list is just over 20, so just one per person is good. Timothy Casey is next, please.
I wrote this poem. I suppose I worked with Anton Wallace Clifford. Do you ever hear of Anton Wallace Clifford? He was the founder of the Simon community, and I had the pleasure of working with him over 50 years ago, you know, and he had lots of housing. So anytime I'm passing by and I see a homeless person on the road, I just feel different things. So I wrote a poem about it called Passing By. Passing by, I see him lying there with dirty matted hair. No bed, no house, no chair. Passing by, I wonder why. If I was there, I guess I'd die. Is he devoid of all family care? Did he cut the cobs that were present there? What do I know? I know damn all. Passing by, I wonder, how did he fall? Do I judge him and why? I know nothing and I don't even try. Passing by, it just hits me hard to see him suffering there. It could be me. I decide to stop and talk a while. He is looking up at me with saddened eyes that still can smile. How are you? I ask, and I feel so silly. With weakened voice, he replies, my name is Billy. Embarrassed, I look around and walk away. I am humbled, but cannot stay. But I'm glad I stopped to say a word or two. I know so little about you, Billy, and I don't know you. But those precious moments passing by have humbled me, and I don't know why.
Thanks very much, Timothy. A topic that always touches my heart as well. Next up, we have Julie Gu on Zoom.
Thanks. Hello. Thanks to the guest readers, and Sue, you're doing a great job there. Fair play to you. I'm going to read a quick poem. I came across it today. I am in the process of going through all notebooks for work, and I came across a load of five-word challenge poems from years ago. And there's one that I kind of enjoyed reading. I don't even remember writing it. I'd say it's from like 2012. So I'll read it for ye. The words were random, asparagus, rose, sudden, and rabbit. I first heard of sudden rabbit syndrome on the number 8 bus. The whiskered old lady with marbled eyes and crunchy nouns enlightened me. Such a random encounter rose out of chance. Apparently, her father, a bearded shepherd, would leave the family home come full moon. His asparagus limbs would sprout fur. His bum would sport a fluffy tail. He'd hop and bop atop hills and dunes, demented by lunar tunes that only his rabbit ears could pick up. The family would stare in awkward awe from the highest window. Sinead Gormaghan.
Little Kafka never hurts anybody. Fantastic, Julie. Antonio Di Mare.
Hi. This poem is called An Entropy. Persistent. First of all, I want to thank you, Jerry, and then Gail as well for the awesome reading. I remember Gail coming even to the last year Cork International Poetry Festival. What I want to say is that in the tragedy, there is always room for beauty. And that's what I get from your poems. I admire the sense and the courage between in your words and in your poems. So thank you very much for your readings. Say that, my poem is called Entropy. persistent as water, stronger than the wind. Let me explore the taste of your grief, but biting the fear like a marshmallow. On your face is written a path. Your delicate skin is smashed in the sky. The local groceries paint the wonder, a daily melting pot. Forgive the stranger whose earth is burning. The entropy in the clouds will give a quote to the rest. Summer, beloved summer, running away upon my fingers. September will eat the sweet nostalgia of the summer beach parties. The night burns wild. Seagulls will know always when the rain comes. Favorable circumstances allow life to happen. Persistent as water, stronger than the wind. Another word behind that curtain. The last one, one more time. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Antonio. Next up is Cedric Bicon.
So this one doesn't have a title yet, and I do hope that there are no rude people in here, and no children either, especially if they are very good with metaphors. I'm used to vocalize on my own, but I give myself up, tongue-tied by the knots she makes with hers. Wanting to play along, I close my eyes to read her partition. Play with the protruding keys delicately. And like a finger on a string, I read her skin. When she sings, the tones rise off of mine, and her tuning forces me to sing along. Scores and chords are strung high, booked, plucked, and slurred all together in phrases punctuated by the creaking frame. The melody is old, but each time unique, played by the duet orchestra that we are. Calling, responding, seeking a new key each time. We love. We ride each other like a full ensemble, confident in our million years of sacred ritual rehearsals, of which we only played our fun parts, like sinful phonies. The finale is a rush to the fireworks, the prolonged works. The encores, encore. One of us leads, played, da capo, crescendo, fortissimo. Her violins moan, we pant, we giggle as the music dies. Some notes on her belly.
Thank you so much, Cedric. Next on the list is Carl Holden.
How are we doing, guys? I came down to start this conversation the same way every conversation has started for the last month for me. I'm running a festival. And I would love to see some of you guys there. It'd be magic. So it's in 2 weeks' time. It's called List Festival, and we have a day and a night and a morning of entertainment laid on. We have poets, comedians. We have a guy who's going to do ancient Irish mythology through the medium of fire. It's going to be pretty amazing. Then we have six incredible hip hop acts, and we have six DJs. So we're going to go all night. It's called the List Festival. You can find us on Instagram. So in that spirit, I have cannibalized the poem I wrote a few years ago for you this evening. Let's see if I can dig it out. This is the garden of the goddess, girdled by the sea, where rings and rats and holy paths speak of our history, where music rolls down the mountain, where the water breathes slow airs with mystery about them, of lore and whispered prayers. In this list, the tribes will gather before their harpists on their hearth, their thirst to slake of heaven's sake, of music, wine, and art. Come on down, it's good to see you there. Festival's in Glanmire, 15 minutes from the city, very convenient. £30 for tickets, 20 hours of entertainment. It's going to be LIOS. Yes, thank you, Colin, appreciate it. 22nd of July.
Which is a Saturday and comes before Joy in the Pack and Fitzgerald's Pack, at which there's a brilliant poetry lineup. I know that Jim is on the list, and Bubba Shakespeare and myself and Stephen James Smith coming down from Dublin. So that shall be a very exciting event in Fitzgerald's Pack the day after that festival. And I booked a ticket for Cahill's Festival as well. So without further ado on the list, we have now Patricia Walsh, please.
I was trying to read my own handwriting. It's called Getting with the Programme. The local bomb fingers its most intended. The firm most enjoyed no longer a wager. Realised through effort, the comfort realised. Cartoonesque scenarios, a grief demeanors. Enjoyed further time for better times, but for what? Walking through realms of fantasy given. The weekend's grip on reality hard design. A local culture lost on the eavesdropping soul. For repeated questions, toiled for sanity. Seriously taken, election given in spite. The hated station looking good in the CV. Forged into vision taking it at will. The sarcastic days, the so caustic self, the various health scares run awry. Arrested at hearts on spec, driving away. Locked and chained, adulterated to speed. The pristine world order calls its glory. Edging as unwanted divisions by awry. For brick upon brick, the prettier ascension. Falling for people, skin on skin absolution. Retouched by the hands of God, a hard beauty. The dark spurs reason on a sarcastic glare. Stealing through wrong, stealing being wrong, dispersed with necessity. Sins being forgiven under a rolling event. Thanks.
Thanks, Patricia. We're going back to Zoom now, where we have Dee Allen, who's calling from Oakland, California in the US.
It's been 2.5 years since I last visited O'Bale to perform for it. My last appearance was back in December 2020, if you could believe that. I only know one person who's in the physical room tonight, and that happens to be the host whose name still escapes me. That's the only person I know. But for the rest of you who don't know me, allow me to introduce myself to you properly. I'm Dee Allen from Oakland, California, USA, traditional land of the Ohlone Nation, pronouns he, him, his. And I'm going to do one poem for 3 minutes. And to assist me in this endeavor, I'm going to use the share screen feature on Zoom. From my 7th book, Plans. from pages 39 to 41. This poem happens to be an ode to the guy you see on the screen right now. This is called Night Eagle. Dusk hides nothing from the night eagle, himself hidden in the trees, with feathers and wings of sandy hue, bulbous eyes as black as his native grove. Nyctophilian bird watches the wildness and deep darkness, observes change in weather and seasons. From the hollows of oaks, broad branches of redwoods, not a thing escapes his careful, penetrating gaze under the stars. Red men claim the night eagle is the spirit of one of their departed, brought back to earth in avian form. Protective, insightful, wiser than he was in life, he gives a sharp chorus of hoots, spreads his wings and flies after intruders on the ground, chasing those field rats back to holes within nightly abyss before the slow coming of day. The night eagle, watcher of the woods, wings of sandy hue, black eyes, is my spirit animal, according to a spinning color wheel on an iPad, on a table, under a tent, a pretty blonde park ranger directed me to. During the stand for the Redwoods Festival, Yerba Buena Gardens, San Francisco, USA, color wheel rotated clockwise, by the touch of index finger on screen, then slowed in pace. Right side arrow landed on yellow, spotted owl. I don't believe in this spirit animal nonsense at all, but the traits the fabled night eagle has, vigilance, insight, wisdom, lie in me nonetheless. And that poem was called Night Eagle, an ode to California's state bird, the northern spotted owl. And that poem came from my seventh book, Plans, now available from Nomadic Press. From this mic to your ears, I'm Dee Allen. Thanks for listening.
Thanks very much, Dee Allen. And I'm sorry for getting that pronoun wrong earlier. That was a slip of the paper. So, we're going back into the room now. And we have now Roxane with us.
Thanks to all our readers, and if I can take a moment to wish a happy birthday to Paul. Thanks for everything you've done, really. So this is a never-ending declaration of love for one of the love of my life. And if I make it without crying, I'm going to be very proud of me. So. The day I got his text, you took over. I received the status I never had before. Four little ones came next, but you're the first. You stole my heart, and you keep stealing it every sticker you send on WhatsApp. Beware of nephew and nieces, they're a trap. The amount of love I have for you goes beyond the stars, traveling to unknown galaxies. Thinking back to babysitting a three-year-old modeling baby and forward to when you will be taller than me. I wrote so much about you, don't think I'll ever stop. She could be your daughter, she looks so much like you. I'll settle for auntie, the rest will develop. Life is cruel, adults absurd sometimes. The song of your youth, I'll help you make it rhyme. I switched from protection to teaching, to accompany you instead of preaching. You will make your mistakes, I'll be there, whatever it takes. Are you too old for me to hold your hand? Your smile, we walk together, it's grand. A hug from you sends my therapist to redundancy. As always, I love you more than yesterday and less than tomorrow, my. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Roxanne. Constantine is next. Welcome.
I'm reading, I am going to read it to you all four.
Yeah, they're very short.
Okay. Secret Hollows. Down, much further down to secret hollows. In dark depths we have not penetrated. The air horns are dragging out cold from the stones. Separatists struggling in the bodies. Light seeps sweetly down on the rocks, through pains of ice silence gazes, or in strange marks and echoes of those days, from one or to another, world changes. This poem is written by Eileen Nicolina.
Thank you.
Happiness. I haven't seen you in a long time. Your hair scatters a million stars, a spring song, a song of love. I recognize you among the light and shadows. I am waiting for you there. And the last. Here is moonlight. Under your flapping hand, autumn symphony of colors. The moonlight drips into me, drops of light. Is good, huh? Hey, I have another variant, but I think it's better. Under your flapping hands, autumn symphony of colors, the morning sprinkles into me drops of light. Drops of light. The first. Well, the first. The first poem. Okay.
Thank you so much, Constantine. Well done for reading. And you know what? Someday we'll hear you read to us in Romanian as well, will we? So that we can hear your language. Next time you read in English and Romanian, yeah? Good. next on the list is Seamus Harrington. Woo-hoo!
Thank you. This is a found poem, and then it found its way into O'Brien's Press, first effort at poetry, Lana Hopkins, the editor, on the banks. So, November the 10th, 1851, sewing machine. A sewing machine, now on exhibition at the fair held at Castle Gardens, New York. It's commonly surrounded by a crowd of spectators. It is about 12 inches square, weighs 65 pounds, and will do the work of 8 to 10 persons. It is called the Singer Straight Needle Perpendicular Action Sewing Machine. Singer's Corner. This is from a plaque up on Singer's Corner, Cork. The Singer Sewing Machine Company moved into number 1 Washington Street between 1873 and 1875. The building was the headquarters of the Singer Company in Ireland, and every floor was in use for offices and workshops. The Singer. My secret lamp will flood on white to set the scene. This limb is most prosthetic. It snaps on and off at will. Underneath my arm, a toolbox with needles and extra feet. A tacking plate, some snips, and fragrant oil to wet my crank. My printed circuit motherboard does not require redress. Don't tweak my small intestine, it's coated in shellac. I've got no time or space for a brittle carbon brush. Deep inside my vault, the silk-filled bobbin stands on edge. When you feel the urge to go, I tap my motor heart. My footsie throttle pedal awaits your tender touch. Stationed on the foredeck, a capstan of the telescopic type, the tread run up around the dog's claw feed, looped through my clip and down around the inner guide. He clutched this cam to let my bobbin spin and fill in perfect sync without a needless stab. A thumb screw fits the pintle flat, now squeeze the shaft. This colored line streams from eye to hook and lock the bottom stitch while you turn the wheel by hand. Another dial knurled to alter tension on my cotton line. I need not embroider some tricks that I've got up my sleeve. I know every border step to suit the longer, shorter stitch. I'll spin no yarn, but often dance a jig to sew a buttonhole or cuff. One party piece I like to mix a two-step hop amongst a zigzag flip. I march along the flap to fix a zip until the stop's where you snip.
How to put a sewing machine into a porch. We are going back to Zoom now, and we have our very own Kemi George Simpson.
Hello. So I was supposed to be writing about trees, and they kept taking me back to my childhood on a council estate. So I wrote this. It's called Treading Carefully. Knocked down ginger from floor to floor in tower block nurseries. Concrete, historian of my youth. We weaved up and down your stairwells, avoiding piss streams and tanked up phantoms, dodging the boys supplying to the estate, but catching a chill off the party classes who would slum it to score. Back then, dandelion leaf and the comfrey on the field were lost adventures, but green would find us and chain us to daisies. Green would reliably predict our love of butter through golden petals, and we would cherish dock leaves when nettles taught us harsh lessons. The block was knocked down. Some were rehoused, some were locked up, and we grew up. My mother is still rooted in the area. From her balcony, she looks out into the new red brick terraces where young planes reach up to the church steeples. Now, dandelion tea reduces our inflammation and comfrey kills our athlete's foot.
Thanks. I love how we all go back to different herbologies, depending where we're coming from. Kimmy, thanks very much. And we're back in the room now, and we're to the Oglas Shines, or how do you pronounce that name? Lasson, yes, forgive me. Jack?
Good evening, I'm Jack O'Glasson. This poem is called A Love Worth Fighting For. My love, do you remember that cold-colored world whom turned dark overnight? The white heat of our desires stayed impenetrable and bright, fueled by the eternal flame of nature's illuminating light, inner vision heightened by her casted spell of seer sight. My love, do you remember when everything turned black? Together we stayed alight, integrating the night, staying afloat, rowing our boat in waves of golden moonlight with a swirling silver backdrop of night. It's our love, my love, that truly knocked me right. It's our love, oh, drew a dove, that's been worth all the fight. Thank you.
Sasha, you're on the list right after.
I'm still Sasha. The poem called Free Will. Plunging into the watery depths of the heart, searching for our origins in order to depart from this three-dimensional plane to the next domain, wondering, wishing, wanting for those ever-moving goalposts to just stop. Ha, the spiral never stops. Light, dark, light, dark, on the cusp of that beautifully balanced fulcrum, patiently waiting to see what we will become. A powerfully paradoxical play out of events, building tangible tension. Piercing the invisible walls of phantom self, remaining still. Trust, promising a golden path for our free will. Thank you.
Beautiful. We are continuing with Philip Spillane.
Thank you. I felt oxytocin thump my chimpe heart. Archival mitochondria fell apart. The iron in the blood weighed me down. Goosebumps contract and tense up. Stand still. She held my arm. What felt like minutes was forever. Although it never happened again. Small memories of touch photocopied in the mind. Nothing compares to the first time, or more the only time. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Phil, for that. And next up, we have Rosie O'Regan.
Thank you, Sue. And yeah, I've read this one before, but it's had a little edit. So I'm going to read it again. And just to say, Gail, worms. I love worms, too. Worms are... we're best friends. And Kemi, trees. Yeah. So the trees are in this poem. And it's a poem in two parts. It has an introduction. Intro. Picture a dancer, a woman. Kanako is her name. She stands not far away, eyes closed, inward looking. See breath move through her body, her slow rise, nuance in every move. See her hands lift, open to the sky as a leaf unfurls. First roots for Kanako. She dreams of becoming a tree, to speak the language of leaves in all weather. She imagines roots, delicate as veins, strong enough to grow through rock. The hairline cracks. Always that thirst for water, clear as the look in her eye when words lose all meaning. Soil of the earth, sky, rain, feet, trunk, eye, branch, hand, leaf. Her fingers filter sunlight. See her move.
Wow, that's an image that lasts. Thank you, Rosie. Next up, we have Mo O'Connor.
As Alfred Hitchcock said, good evening. This is a poem about the great Seamus Tansey, iconic flute player from Sligo, and he died this time last year, July the 8th. And I had a great honour of playing with Seamus Tansey, a lot of tours. And this poem was from a gig we'd done in Chicago, and he was just he was a genius, and I don't use that word lightly. And the title of the poem is called The Bardic Apostle, because he wrote a book called The Bardic Apostles of Inish Free, where he pissed off half the traditional world and became even more of an outlaw. But anyway, here's the poem. That night in Chicago, sorry. That night in Chicago, you spun your Sligo magic, transporting all present to the far sides of Gortsheen. The boys of the loch, Ballinasloe Fair, with the spirit of Coleman drifting in the air. A sambrung built for the flutes, you went into battle, fully armed like a melodic general on the plains of Boyle. We heard the Rin boys marching. Borons played old style, open-handed. You were old style in a timeless way. Cascading roles and melodic invention. You defied convention. Improv on a par with Parker or Coltrane. Improvisation by another name. You called them twists and turns. Today I heard you passed, but only the mortal coil. Your name will live forever when they mention Sligo style.
Thanks, Mom. Next up, Michelle DeLay.
Good to see you. Better to hear you. Nowadays, it's quiet unless I'm making the noise. The soap sits there twice as long, dries dark more often. The windows still shut after work. After work, I don't talk about it. I make too much food again and don't know what to do with it. If I keep it for tomorrow, I'll miss the crashing in the kitchen. I keep the radio inaudibly low, like the smothered freezer given up on. I slide your meal into the compost bin. In the supermarket, there's roses and lilies and sunflowers this time of year. They cost what I save on whiskey and restaurants. I spend too long choosing. This time of year, it's grey unless I'm the one doing the blooming. Thanks, everyone.
Very moving piece, Michelle. Right, so we have one more person on Zoom, but we're going to let him finish the list. And because I'm the MC, I can decide that I want to do a piece now. I have. Thanks so much. I have waited for quite a long time to do this piece, and I'm very, very excited. It's brand new off the feather. And for those of you that are deeply rooted in the Christian faith, please do not see this as blasphemy, because it is based on both the Apostolic and the Nicene Creed. Here we go. I believe in science. I do believe in science. Wisdom Almighty, pervader of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I do believe in the theories that evolve with time, hypotheses until proven wrong and replaced by new theories. Begotten by Galileo, Darwin, Einstein, Hawking, insert most acknowledged scientist, her current valid sons, who conceived their wisdom from the Holy Spirit of Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, insert most accepted top university, decided ages ago at their inception by globalists for globalism, the acronyms of control, deep state from deep state, consubstantial with science, the only truth for our salvation as absolved by shady governments unelected. Born of virgin human mind, suffered under censorship, suppressed and silenced, politically abused, crucified as fake news, and for our sake, buried as conspiracy theories. Other perspectives are sent to hell. On the third day, science will rise again from the dead, resurrected by recent politicians, funded by lobbyists for their own gain, who conduct studies, admitting or denying reports, silencing those who speak up. Blinded eyes will follow blind faith. In accordance with the scriptures, she ascends into heaven and is seated where Nietzsche's God once throned. New osophies, ologies, and isms to replace the nihilistic darkness that descended on the people for a century of Cartesian rationalism. Science almighty, from there she is wielded in glory to judge the living who dare to question her authority, to veer from the mainstream, split into the offstream. And she will push critics to their death, and her kingdom shall have no end. I do believe in the all-seeing eye, guardians of values, keepers of the only truth. They hold the Holy Spirit captive, oversee the operations of her offertory under the guise of religion, and speak as prophets of science. I concede only to the powers of heaven. I do believe in science, silencer of declared conspiracies against the establishment. No forgiveness for false information, for if a lie is told a million times, it becomes the new reality to follow, and we will forget our previous sins, because censorship is for our benefit. I do believe in science, knowledge buried, amended, and resurrected, and in the holy acronyms who pull the strings to uphold the hierarchy of power for life everlasting. I confess my refusal of discipleship, and I look forward to my deliverance from the life of this world to come. I do believe in science. Now bow. Amen. Thanks very much. We're going to finish up with Massimo on Zoom.
Thank you so much for having me. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Always a huge honor to be here. My life may not be like what you would call a love story, but it is full of love and therefore a lovely story. I'm at one with myself and have love for me, so my world loves with me and it loves for me. I was made with love when love bore me. If love is my maker, I must make with love surely. Love is too pure for me to say I love purely, but even with no lover, make love just as pure me. My love is not just like the princes and the princesses, although sometimes it is in little instances, a combination of a passion and an innocence where true love is more perfect than the perfect picture is. But my love is not just of words, sounds, and images. It's the reason for what a word, sound, or image is. No matter how cloudy or mighty my vision is, even when I close my eyes, I am far from visionless. My love is of the flesh and of the senses, but even they are not enough to measure its dimensions. Touch, sound, sight, smell, taste leave impressions, but the memory and the heart leave directions. Thoughts come, thoughts go like intentions. Thoughts give thoughts, but they're only suggestions. Don't let thoughts of lost love become weapons. Instead, let the love you've never lost become precious. A love story isn't loving if it troubles you, unless it's just to show that love would take the trouble to. Real love comes with peace and with comfort too. Real life comes before dreams coming true. But wisdom's not the teacher, it's the substitute. It's just a tool to help us do what we love to do. Even the wisest human being is an utter fool if they haven't found a way to be loved by loving too. Though I admit it, I'm a hypocrite. I can love, but can't say what love is or isn't. My deepest feelings change quicker than a minute. But through love's phases, what love stays consistent? So over time, I learned to let the time pass. Judgments change, seen clearer through a time lapse. Thought my heart was broken, but it was a mind lapse. My heart is still intact. I'm still alive as defined as. Love will always last as long as I last. If I can feel my tears and hear my laughs. Through the curvy and the narrow and the wide paths, can't speak for you, but true love has laid my paths. And if that's true for me, then maybe it's a truth you too keep for free. A truth one can keep that can keep one is key. But the best prayer is where there is truth, love must be. Peace and love. Thank you so much.